Now, this evening, I'm using for a subject, sharing our life in Christ in service. The text comes from our Lord's Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. I want to lay emphasis on that portion of the 28th verse that says, This do, and thou shalt live. Someone has well said that we are many, but we are not much. On Sunday mornings, the pews are full, but the people are empty. People have plenty to live on, but every once in a while you'll find a suicide note where the person said, I didn't have anything to live for. With all of the conveniences that we have, we still live miserable lives. We have a switch around the house that can control everything but the children. This is a strange era. And we live in a sadly sick society. When men think that they can find peace of mind in pills, they try to eat their way to ecstasy. They try to drink their way to pleasure. They try to smoke their way to settled nerves. They try to puff their way to popularity and push their way to power. They try to bully their way to friendship and bum their way to world peace. But Jesus has said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One day an expert at Moses' law came to test Jesus' orthodoxy by asking him this question. Teacher, what does a man have to do to live now and to live forever? And Jesus replied, What does Moses' law say about it? And the man said, Moses' law says that you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and your neighbor just as you love yourself. Jesus said, that's right. You know what to say, now go do it. We not only must say what is right, but we must do what is right. If we are to really live, we must love God and neighbor. We must share our life in Christ in service. We are meeting against the backdrop of mounting world tension. This hate-filled world is desperate for a decent way of life. Now, I'm too ignorant to speak wisely, and I trust I'm too wise to speak ignorantly. But a man does not have to be listed in the who's who to know what's what today. As he stands with a newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other, with his eyes focused on the television and his ears tuned to the radio, he can hear walls and rumors of walls rumbling around the world. He can see astounding world events tumbling over each other in rapid succession, rushing on to ruin. Civilization is toying with degradation and flirting with doom and disaster. High-mindedness runs the streets like a mad dog, beating an uncertain path. Selfishness has evaporated the milk of human kindness, and pain and panic are chasing each other like June bugs playing in the summer sun. Paradise has been turned into pandemonium, and puny men are still piddling around with passing days. Under the magic of science, distance has disappeared. We no longer measure distance by the miles, but by the hours. Los Angeles is 10 hours from London. That simply says that isolationism is dead and buried without the slightest hope of a resurrection. You see, science has given us proximity, but it cannot give us community. And proximity without community spells trouble, and that's where we are now. Whether you realize it or not, we are interdependent and we are interrelated. We cannot live without each other, and we have not learned to live with each other. Unless we learn to live with each other, it is doubtful that we shall live at all. If you are to really live, you must share your life in Christ in service. You must love the Lord with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your entire being. And your neighbor just as you love yourself. The Lord wants you to love yourself, yes. But he wants you to love your neighbor just as you love yourself. And you'll really live. You know, some people think that just one good quality makes them a Christian or makes them acceptable in the sight of God. Any individual who thinks that just one good quality makes him Christian reminds me of bees making honey. There's a bee, when he gets ready to make honey, he will go to the clover field and he'll suck some of the nectar from the clover. And then he'll go to the rosebud and get some of its sweetness. And then he will go to the meadow and get some of what the daisy has to offer. And then he will fly over the mountain and bring back some of the liquid fragrance of a morning glory. Then he'll come back by the peach orchard and lighten a peach blossom. And then he'll go to his little laboratory and he'll mix it all up. You've got some real honey then. If you want your life acceptable in the sight of God, you've got to start at Abraham's tent and get you some faith. You've got to visit Moses at Midian and get you some preparation. You've got to go up on the mountain where Elijah is and get you some fire. You've got to go to Job's house and get you some patience. You've got to go to Paul's dungeon and get you some determination and missionary zeal. You've got to plow through the Word of God and stop on the Jericho Road long enough for the Good Samaritan to teach you how to love your neighbor. And then you've got to go to Calvary and get you some love and go down in the empty tomb and get you some eternal life and then go somewhere in your secret closet and mix it all up in prayer. You'll be acceptable in the sight of God. That's the reason Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You see, Christ is the supreme pattern for Christian living. You copy others, and you copy their faults. You copy Christ, and there's no fault to copy. Now, to build after his model, you must have his mind. And he gives every one of us a blueprint, not only of his flawless career, but he furnishes each one who desires it the blueprint for his own life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that leads us to ask, what kind of a mind does he have? He has a mind devoted to God and the good. He has a mind of high aspiration and humble service. He has a mind of faith and works. We are to love God and neighbor. We are to worship God and witness to every creature. If he's a creature, we must share our life in Christ with him. Many times we select the people to whom we want to share. But Christ said, shared with every creature. We must witness by lip and by life. Many of us have a Christian vocabulary, but we don't have Christian experience. We can talk Christianity, but we don't live it. The world is not looking and listening for a greater declaration of the gospel. But this world stands in need of a demonstration of the gospel. Amen. We not only must say some good things, but we must do those good things. If we were to stop now and let everybody express him or herself, Nearly everybody in here would testify that I'm a Christian. Yeah. You know, my grandmother used to call those kind of meetings, instead of testifying meetings, she called them testifying meetings. Yeah. And the more I hear them, the more I think she's right. We can talk, but we need to walk our talk.
Yes, sir.
And then talk your walk.
All right.
We need not only need a program, but we need a ministry. We need faith and works. Faith without works is dead. And works without faith is futile. You see, one leg is faith and the other leg is works. Many are trying to hobble through this life on one leg. Many people have what I used to call peg leg religion. There's no warmth in it. And even though you're able to hobble around on it, it never becomes a part of you. You have to strap it on every morning. But the Christian religion has got to be a part of you. It's not what you say, but what you do. By their fruits, ye shall know them. Not by what they say. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering the sight of the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That shows us that we've got to say some things and we've got to do some things. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's something you say. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's something you do. To preach deliverance to the captive. That's something that you do. Or that's something that you say. Recovering the sight of the blind. That's something that you do. Set at liberty them that are bruised. That's something you do. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that's something that you say. So you have to have faith and works. You see, faith and works are the wings of the same bird. A bird can't fly with one wing. It doesn't matter how strong and how limber the wing of faith is, that bird can't fly with faith alone. And it doesn't matter how strong and how limber the wing of works is, that bird can't fly with works alone. If he's to fly, he must mount up on faith and works. Now, faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Faith is essential because it's the only approach to God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is your invitation to let God use you on his own terms. If you will let the Lord have his way in your life, Oh, just think of what would happen here tonight if every individual here would just let the Lord have His way in your life. You talking about spiritual enrichment. We would have it, and it would soon spread throughout this entire state, throughout this country, and reach around the world. The Lord is ready for it to happen. Amen. But we are not. We want to talk our religion, our Christianity, and let it end there. If you let the Lord use you on His own terms, you'll not only see what He can do for you, but what He can do with you and through you. Faith is that link that binds our nothingness to almightiness. Faith is human weakness laying hold on divine strength. If a thing is possible, it can be done by skill and experience. But if a thing is impossible, it can be done only by faith. Now, faith is not going to stop the storm, but it'll just help you to stand it. Amen. This old world is tattered and torn, but faith will take the tangled threads of men's hopes and knit them into tapestries of fadeless glory. Faith will help you to face life's music when you don't even like the tune. The venture of faith gives reality to our hopes. It will cause us to live on invisible means of support. You can eat well in a wilderness and sing the doxology in a dungeon. Faith is important, but it's not enough by itself. You've got to couple your works with it. Our Lord gave a demonstration of the importance of faith and works. It was on the occasion of the Feast of the Tabernacle. A blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. Now other men became blind, but this man was born like that. He had never seen a sunrise or a sunset. He had never beheld the face of his loved ones. He had smelled the fragrance of flowers, but he'd never seen color blush in a rose. He had felt raindrops, but he'd never seen clouds floating overhead. He had heard thunder roar, but he'd never seen lightning flash. That man is in a pitiful condition, sitting there begging. The disciples became interested in the case, and they were interested only to a point. They just wanted to know the cause. They just wanted to have something to talk about when they get in their rap sessions. I just want to be able to tell the cause of this man's blindness. You see, they are interested in theology. But our theology has got to be expressed in our sociology. They are interested in having something to discuss and talk about. And they asked what they thought was a deep theological question. Master, who did sin? All right. This man or his parents, that he was born blind? If they'd just thought a little while, they would have known that the man couldn't have sinned before he was born. But Jesus turned their theology into doxology. For he said, neither, but that the works of God might be made manifest. Now, Jesus is not saying that the man had not sinned. He's not saying that the parents had never sinned. But he's simply saying no one's sin has caused this blindness. I can hear him saying, I had him born like that. For just such time as this, I had him born like that, so that when men run low on faith, I had him born like that, so that when men think that faith is all they need. And he set out to give a demonstration of faith and works. And he's going to give this demonstration in slow motion. Now, he could have just wheeled and the man's eyes would have come open. But no, he took his time and spit on the ground and mixed the spit and clay and called the man and anointed his eyes, smoothed the spit and clay on, and told him to go and wash in a pool. Told him to go without a guide. Possibly the man did not have a C&I dog, but you go. Possibly the man didn't know a thing about radar, but he went straight to the pool.
All right.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I'm weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. If you'll just use the faith that the Lord gives you to use and go to work with that, you'll make it. But you see, we want to see all the way to the end of the journey. When you get in your car and start from this place for home tonight, you will not possibly have enough light from your automobile to shine all the way home. But as you move, the light will move. When you turn right, the light turns right. When you turn left, the light turns right. When you go up the hill, the light will go up the hill. When you get in the valley, the light will be in the valley. And after a while, you've got light all the way home. Just walk out on the faith that he gives you. And why? If you walk out, he'll strengthen you while you're in the journey. Oh, and when you come to the end of it, you can testify that the journey has been joyful. This man went to the pool, and I want you to notice he didn't just stand around there shouting about his faith. He didn't stand there talking about, oh, how I love Jesus. He didn't stand there and said, come here, let me give him a testimony. That man got out there and worked. He washed. And when he washed, his eyes came open. The man came back seeing. Oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know whom I believe. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But I've got to follow my Lord. For he said, we must work the works of him that sent me. While it's day, the night cometh that no man can work. He included me, he included you in on his ministry and his mission. And he left it in our charge. We are to work until the day is over. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. I not only must preach, but I've got to walk. I've just invited you to come to California. Come and see if I'm just here preaching to you in Chickasha. Come and see if I try to walk what I talk. Because I know that's the only way I'm going to make it. when I get out of this pulpit, when I stand here and talk about you've got to love everybody, I've got to get out here and demonstrate that. Our problem is a sin problem. We might as well face it. We want to lay it on everything else but sin. We will say our problems are racial. No, it's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. When sin is in a man, it doesn't matter what color he is. Adam and Eve were born of the same father and mother, and thereby the same race. Rather, Cain and Abel had the same father, the same mother, same race. And Cain killed Abel. And that same spirit is here today. We say, oh, if we could just solve our racial differences, we'll have it made. No, you won't. I found that all of the trouble isn't between the races, it's within the races. And let me tell you, if you're going down a dark stretch of the road at night and you hear some footsteps behind you, you don't wonder what color that man is. You want to know the condition of his heart. That's what matters. Let's face it. And when you place your faith and your hope in the Lord Jesus and start out to work and serve him, and I do the same, when we meet, we'll meet on a common ground. Then we'll be brothers. Being black does not make Brother Bradley and I brothers. Oh! What makes us brothers? We have the same father. And I'm glad I've got brothers of all colors. Praise the Lord. And I'm not just standing here shouting about it. When I get down there, I've got to act it out. There was a boy who was going by a graveyard late one night, and he heard a strange rustling in the trees. Now, he'd been by there before, but this is the first time he'd heard this noise. And he started to run in with all of his might. And as he ran, he prayed, Lord, help me to run. Lord, help me to run. Now, I don't want you to do it all by yourself. I'll tell you what you do, Lord. If you'll pick up my feet, I'll put them down. Now, you might not think too much of his theology, but the boy had something. We not only got to pray, but we've got to get up and put some feet to our prayer. Not stand here and talk about what we ought to do. Get on out here and do it. We've got to work until Jesus comes. He's told us to occupy until he comes. If I walk in the pathway of duty, I'll work till the close of the day. And I shall see the great King in his beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I'll rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me. I've gone the last mile of the way. I'm going to work. I'm going to occupy until he comes. You know, there are some people, instead of occupying until he comes, they are occupied with his coming. They're sitting around trying to figure out when he's coming. They're trying to pinpoint the day of his coming. Oh, no man knows that. He just told you to be ready. And don't let anybody deceive you. No man knows when he's coming. You just get ready tonight. A few years ago, you possibly remember when somebody made the startling announcement that the Lord would return on a March the 16th. People began to call me and say, Pastor, what do you think about that announcement? And I said, I don't think a thing about it. And if it disturbs you, you go out to the nearest cemetery. And if you see the tombstone still standing upright, don't worry. For when he comes, the dead in Christ gonna rise first. When he comes, Abraham's gonna nudge Sarah and say, wake up, Sarah, the Lord's here. When he comes, David's gonna ask for his harp and play once more. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When he comes, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the other prophets are gonna rise and they're gonna run the streets. And everybody they see, they're going to say, I told you so. When he comes, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And you know, I'm glad that the Bible says there will be some who will be still alive when he comes. And I'm glad again that those who will be still alive will not go off and leave those who are in the grave. That's the reason the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And you know, the Lord has assigned us to work here. You know, after a while, he's going to have some more leaders. You remember when he went up on the mountain of transfiguration, he carried Peter, James, and John to represent earth. And he brought down Moses and Elijah to represent heaven. And at that meeting, there was just one item on the agenda. And Jesus just talked about dying. He talked about dying until his countenance changed. He talked about dying until Peter got happy and said, let's build three tabernacles. Oh, but I believe that the Lord appointed Moses to lead that crowd that died in the Lord. I believe that he appointed Elijah to lead that crowd who will be still alive. You know, Elijah didn't die. He just caught a fiery chariot and went on home. But while we are getting ready, we're going to sing a double anthem. That's the reason we ought to sing together here. I'm talking about now. I said the other night, we're just having a rehearsal now. And if you can't make the rehearsal, you're not going to be in the performance. Oh, while we're getting ready, we're going to sing a double anthem. Largest crowd's going to sing, O death, where is thy sting? Moses' crowd's going to sing, O grave, where is thy victory? And then we're going to all join in the chorus and sing, thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the book says we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Somebody says we are climbing Jacob's ladder and every round goes higher and higher. But the book says we will be caught up to meet him in the air. Somebody else says we're going to walk in Jerusalem just like John. But the Bible says we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Brother Bradley, I used to hear a song that says, Lord, I want two wings to veil my face, and I want two wings to fly away. And then they had a stanza, Lord, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings should fail me, meet me with another pair. Now that's somebody who didn't know the Lord. For if he need wings, they won't fail you. There's no failure in him. But the book says we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. And there we shall ever be with the Lord. All races, all kindred, all tongues. Now is the preparation time. We are getting ready in this brief period of time to spend eternity with our Lord. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, thank you for your word that is so plain that a fool need not err. Thank you that you have provided a way for all men to live peaceably here in this world. You've given us your plan of faith and words. And help each one here tonight to re-examine his or her own life and see the relationship that we have to the Lord Jesus and our relationship to all mankind. Let everyone find peace for his ever dying soul and then go from this place to share that life that never ends with every creature. Thank you for every minister. Thank you for every congregation. Thank you for every member of the various congregations. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've given us to pray together, to fellowship. Now send us on our way to work together. After a while, you're going to call us from labor to reward. Help us to be ready. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.